Meet the Kennedys at Lasseter's, hole at the waterhole. A cup of tea at Harold Sonia's nursery for a stroll. It's time to neighbors. CJ, Kate, and Vaya. Let's get the neighbors.
Hello, this is Neighbours. We are the Neighbours Recap Podcast. We recap episodes of the Aussie soap Neighbours. We do that as a form of self-care. I'm Vaya, CJ's here.
Hello.
Hi. Kate's not here because she's gone overseas.
She has.
Toadie sleeps with one ex and the whole world caves in.
I cannot believe that he has actually got worse since the last time we sat at this table.
Yes, sure.
Like, how dare he?
I highlighted a few choice quotes.
Mm-hmm.
Let's get into this. So we are recapping the episodes from Monday the 18th of March to the 21st, and the episodes are 9008 to 9011. I'm going to pluck out this quote that I highlighted from him. He has a heart-to-heart with Therese. She comes over to the patio and they have a discussion. She lets him say his piece. And he said, well, I guess I had unresolved feelings for Melanie.
Yeah.
And then later he goes, well, I've resolved those feelings now.
Oh, my God. I put my penis in her.
That's not how – is that how it works? Oh, well, I've resolved them.
I was just thinking, I don't imagine he used protection.
That is an excellent point.
Because, like, otherwise, was he planned or did he use the condom on his wallet that's been there since, like, pre-Sonia?
That is a very interesting point.
Because you still need to use protection even when you're older.
Yeah. For various reasons.
Yeah. How unfair to his wife as well.
I mean, yep, that's another reason. It's unfair.
So, God, okay. I wouldn't mind it if Mel just said, oh, I'm pregnant now, that'd be amazing.
Oh, God. I don't want unexpected fetuses on this show. It's
no, but if they were going to be, we don't want a teen one. If we're going to have one, it would be much better to be like
mature age.
Yeah.
Okay. While we're with the toadfish, he keeps leaning on Mac. I guess Mac's his colleague.
Now, leaning on is an interesting word. This conversation, when he had just got the coffee and he was struggling to breathe, which seems to be his big grief maneuver, fine. I don't want to judge grief. He rubs Mac's arm in that scene. It a little bit too familiar. Just back away, Toadie.
Yeah.
Does she work for him?
It seems to be, but she – I thought she worked a lot more for the council, but I think she must clock up more hours in Toadie's office.
Yeah. Well, he's not doing any.
No. I like seeing working Mackenzie. She's just very busy. She's got it all together. She's carrying her files around.
Mm-hmm. And she's wearing like a power suit.
Yeah, pinstripe.
Yeah.
White. Like, she's not spilling anything on that.
No, God, no. And I think she even cleaned up hazards like that.
Yeah, yeah. Did not change.
Speaking of cleaning up hazards.
Okay, I cannot. And I'm not ready to dive into there. Okay, so Therese hears Toadie out after he's, you know.
What a saint.
Yeah. Yeah. And she's like, well, okay then. All right. And he said he's left her a letter which Nell had to point out to her. Like he leaves it on the table and it falls on the floor.
Bloody useless.
And then Nell has to say, oh, did you read my dad's letter? Which for a minute I thought, did Nell just write it and put her dad's name on it?
Also, I don't know what Kate's messages say, but how is Toadie telling Nell off for Hugo falling on the skateboard?
Oh, yes. No, okay, talk us through that. No, Kate sent a couple of voice memos. They are not directly related to anything in the episode. They are more speculating on things that are going on outside of the current universe. So last week we brought up how Nell was having to take on an adult role in the family and parent her younger brother. And, yeah, they come running in because
– so they disturb the big chat. And so I guess Toadie is startled because I assume he thinks this chat will go his way, which I don't know why he would think that. Has he met Therese?
And he thinks, yeah, I've said sorry. Yeah. So problem solved.
I had unresolved feelings.
Resolved them.
Yeah. And that's done now.
I was proactive about my unresolved feelings.
Yeah.
The rest of us just have to keep on keeping on. Yeah. With the erst unresolved sexual tension.
Yeah. He climaxed his feelings. Yeah. And but anyway, they run in and he's like, why did you fall over? And then he turns to Nell and says, why were you watching him? And she was like, I was. And he's like, not good enough.
Because he was on his skateboard or something. Like,
yeah. Firstly, no helmets, by the way. What, or knee pads or anything.
What was she meant to do? Just interfere with gravity there.
Awful. Like it was awful.
And doesn't have a moment of compassion for his son who's hurt.
No. And he's a lovely little kid. But also, like, that's the child's nightmare, that the relationship breakdown gets blamed on them or gets, you know, that they get the negative feelings about it. The parents meant to do everything they can. Like, even Therese is pretending to like them.
And at one point Nell's like, oh, what are we doing tonight? I've got to organize dinner. I've got to cancel Sadie because she was going to be babysitting. I'm like, why do you need a babysitter for your 15-year-old? Unless Nell was going out and they needed the babysitter for Hugo.
I would say so, because Nell is looking after Hugo every day.
And when your 8-year-old or whatever is abducted, why not just leave him the next night to go out in the woods?
Yeah, the woods.
So that's what the letter said. Meet me at the campsite.
It gave us firstly some insight into the night that Therese and Toadie got together.
Yes, which we've been waiting for. Where is our flashback week for that?
Yeah, I mean, it's we're not getting a whole week.
We're not getting a flashback minute for that.
No, because I'm still struggling to believe how it could happen, because Therese is sober. She doesn't drink. Like, yes, you go camping and you kiss the neighbor guy when you're drunk.
Is she allowed to get high? Like,
certainly hope so. Maybe she's got some gummies or something.
Maybe there's a loophole there. Maybe she's got medicinal help.
Yeah, I hope so, because I just don't understand how, you know, firstly, why Therese said, oh, I'll go camping.
Because he thought it would remind them of that night that they talked all night till dawn and then made out.
No, but in the first instance.
Oh, in the first instance.
Why was she there?
She was devastated because she'd just been broken up with. Yeah. And for some reason, the Rodwells invited everyone camping to distract them.
Oh, Rodwells. Don't invite Therese Willis. If someone invited me camping, it wouldn't care how many husbands had just left me. I would not go.
Just go, no, thank you.
No, thank you. I've got a home.
Have fun, you guys. I'll enjoy a nice quiet street.
Yes. Yes. I'll have the street to myself. Yeah. Me and the Kennedys, because they're not going either.
I might put on some roller skates and just roller skate around the cul-de-sac.
Yes. So Toadie goes out to the bush, and also there's no landmarks around this, by the way. So how does he really know he's in the same place? He doesn't.
And how's anyone going to find him?
No. Well, someone found him, but that's surprising.
Yeah.
So he goes out there. Now, we have a friend that has recently purchased a caravan.
Oh, we do, yes. We do.
And the reason that they purchased the caravan was because packing up and setting up the tent was just taking too much time.
Yeah, tedious.
I cannot believe Toadie can't look after his children. He can't keep his dick in his pants. But he can set up a fucking tent.
Yeah, that no one asked him to.
No, he had like chairs set up. It looked like he had
a rug.
He
put a rug down.
Yes. Like, when Millsy
special outdoor tent rug.
Exactly. When Millsy took everyone camping, it was like a planned event, right? And Millsy was very effective as a person. Toadie, he can't even he doesn't even go into his office to look at his computer. I mean, I don't either, but still.
Mel arrives because Toadie gets a text saying, I need space, and Therese has gone to – well, we already knew she wanted to go to Adelaide.
Mm.
Because she runs into Paul in front of the plaque.
Mm.
And he's like, you need to get away, clear your head. Why don't you go to Adelaide? She's like, I've got too much noise in my head. He goes, you know what's not noisy? Adelaide, the city of churches. Go visit Tyler and Piper, said no one ever.
Yeah. So in this also, Therese says, oh, well, Tyler didn't come to the wedding because she thought I was rushing things.
Yeah, pipes, yeah.
Oh, sorry. Well, Tyler, I guess, too.
Yeah.
But can you imagine, like, actually saying no to going to your mother's wedding just because you think she's rushing things?
I mean, now that I know what the wedding was, I would have also said no to that wedding.
I know. But we got taken to that wedding without our consent. But the – it's just like, look, if she was marrying Paul, for instance, who's done the wrong thing over and over and over again, you could say, look, I'm not going. Mm. I don't like this man.
Yeah.
But Toady, the nice man across the street that you do like –
didn't Piper used to do like work experience for Toady? She used to intern for him.
I think so, yeah.
You know what's very curious is that for months and months now, Therese is like, I miss my dead son. Fair enough.
Hmm.
No, I'm not judging her for that. But the first moment she has an opportunity to go on a holiday and see family, she does not choose to visit that son's daughter. And
well,
see
that's right.
Her granddaughter in Queensland, Matilda.
Matilda, good name. Okay. Yeah, that's true. Therese has not mentioned her for a long time.
How can Amber's cut her out? Yeah. It's like, you know what? I'm doing this on my own.
Mm.
You never drop in for a lend a hand.
No, I wonder if Therese sends money or gifts or anything.
That's what she would do. She would send
Uber Eats vouchers.
Yeah. Or just vouchers for things that they don't have near them in Queensland.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Like, yeah, anything Victorian.
Melbourne Museum.
Yeah, or maybe the zoo voucher.
They're like, we can go to Australia Zoo. So Nell confides in Melanie that Toady's gone into the wilderness, and so Melanie heads out there because she sees Therese go to the airport. She didn't want Toady to be on his own.
Yeah. Why is she not more angry at him?
Yeah, because he said to her, oh, yeah, nah, it was just a one-off thing. Sorry, I led you on. I'm just going to keep making sure you're okay. Melanie, get a backbone.
Yeah. Melanie, you deserve better.
Yep. She has said this week, the Rebecca chapter of my life is closed. I'm like, well, good.
Yeah. Do you think she should maybe leave the street? I don't want to lose Mel.
I don't want to lose Mel. I'd rather lose Toady at this point.
Yeah, me too. Maybe he goes to stay at that tent. He set it up well. Now, I want to say I saw a photo of him on that tent like a week ago, and I couldn't tell you guys because you don't want to hear about this stuff. But I really thought he was homeless when I saw that. When I saw that, because I think I saw it like the day that he pashed Mel.
Yeah.
And we assume more happened. Yeah, I thought like that's what he was doing now.
And just without the kids, just off on his own, living on the land.
He would do that, and like he'd leave Therese to raise them.
Mm. He and Mel have this awkward chat, and she's like, okay, well, bye. And then he comes back to the house and the kids are sad because he's come back with no wives.
Yeah. They sent out two.
Like, what are you doing, mate? We sorted it all out for you. And he gets a call from Callum. Thank God there's still a sensible Rebecca around.
Mm-hmm.
Callum calls it in because Nell has told him what – you know, dad's done. And Callum says, come here to California.
Mm.
Just come on over. We'll go to Disneyland. We'll have a great time. And Toady at first is like, but it's the middle of the school term. It's not. It's a week out from Easter holidays.
I mean, we all know I wouldn't do it because I make my child go to school all the time. But yes, but it is a week.
But we are a week out and Kate's overseas with her family, so yeah. It's not a big deal.
But also they could – like we're a week out. They could book the flights for next Friday.
Yeah, or even like midweek Wednesday.
Yeah.
But no, they sorted it out and Toady's like, well – and actually Mackenzie says to Toady, look, you've got to get out of that woman's house, mate. Yeah. Because when she comes back from her little thinking time, give the woman her house back.
Like – in the absence of coups, because I love both of them so dearly.
Yeah.
We've got no coups. The Rodwells, I enjoy them a lot, but they're not like fixing things problems-wise. I mean,
Sarge is doing it for work.
Kind of. Yeah. I mean, he seems to be pulling a lot of overtime over like not much, but anyway. But Mac is like a shining light. She's like – she's telling Toady to like sort out your problem, telling Toady to find housing for his children.
She had another great line this week. She goes, Now that you've worked out what drove you to do it, you can work on not doing it again, making sure it doesn't happen again.
Yeah.
Oopsie. Because it already did happen again. He totally pointed it out. He's like, oh, it just made me think about that time with Andrea and Sonia and all that stuff. So he packs up the kids. They're going to go to Disneyland and he's leaving Mackenzie in charge of Rebecca Law, which good. Hope it's Hargrave's Law by the time he gets back.
Yeah, I'm sure. Look, she could change the door and he wouldn't know. He is holding on to work from home life.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. I don't blame him, but still.
So, okay. I really, look, I want to get to Haz, but not yet, not yet. We have to talk about office politics at Lassiter's and all that goes along with that. Because this is the aftermath of the Lassiter's Longest Lion.
Mm.
And it's a triumph, CJ, a marketing triumph.
Lucy's heard all about it. I guess she was watching the live.
Yeah, must have.
And Paul's got a spring in his step.
Mm.
As your partner's pointed out, he doesn't seem to be being Hef anymore. He's not getting around in his pajamas. Mm. And
yeah, he's wearing day clothes.
He's wearing day clothes. I mean, he's not wearing clothes all the time. There was a
– wow, yeah. Mm-hmm.
But also we can remember that Chelsea said that she was going to be general manager of operations of principals of schools or whatever she was doing until Paul was okay. Like there was no end date, but also it was based on Paul not being able to do his job. And she just has really glided into like hotel heiress life.
Yeah.
And – Paul's like, oh, the lion went well. Lucy wants to set up a meeting. She's like, oh, fantastic. I'll do a slide deck and it's like, why?
It is very funny that we don't know really what her job was before, but how she can suddenly just take on over hotel operations.
Yeah,
because no one has said, oh, because you know you worked with all those hotels previously.
Yeah, like your last name's Hyatt.
Yeah,
and you know, like you used to do this, or like even. God, even if she just said she used to do events or something, like something based on.
Not just I made a perfume.
Yeah.
Like I'm Pufferfish Rebecca.
Oh, my God. And then she is really jealous of Krista.
It's so funny.
What's the point in
Krista's
that?
Krista's just going around doing her job and Chelsea's getting annoyed by it.
Yeah. Although she is getting jealous of Trace.
Yes. So that is she sees them hanging out a lot and. At one point she's like, where's Paul? And someone goes, oh, he was at the lake with Therese.
Therese.
She just looks horrified in the middle of the cafe.
And nobody gives a shit about
her. No one. Everyone's laughing in front of her.
Yeah.
Paul is crediting Krista with this successful Lassiter's Lion event, which conveniently left out all the big meltdowns that happened. But he congratulates Krista.
Yeah. But also like maybe some of that went viral.
Yeah.
I think that they missed an opportunity there because remember like Cranky Granny?
Yeah.
Like these things could have gone viral like that did.
That would have been actually awesome if it looked like Krista had like organized a flop and the whole – and, you know, half the contestants quit because of the affair. Mm-hmm. But then online it was like, oh, marriage breakdown live on air and then everyone wants to stay at Lassiter's.
Yeah, and there would have been like on TikTok there would have been like alternate views of it like this is it from the back and this is like – you know what I mean? Yeah, I would have been so good.
So good.
So Chelsea's annoyed basically that Krista's done a good job and she's getting attention.
He gets her flowers.
Yeah, and he also is pro her. Like he's like, no, you present it. This is yours. And
because Lucy wants to take it global, this marketing campaign.
It's going global.
We're going to have lions all over the world.
I wonder if like we've talked about where New York location will be, but I suddenly like upgraded them and they're on Times Square in my head. Are they going to put like Lassiter's beds all over Times Square? It's just the unhomed.
Well, this is all going to go into Krista's brief and Chelsea's furious that Krista gets to present this. I'm like, it's a job.
And she also says like, oh no, you're setting her up to fail. Like it's so white auntie.
The other white auntie thing she did in the pub when Paul's like, oh, just present all your ideas to Chelsea. And so she does. And then Chelsea takes one of those ideas and then repitches it to Paul as her own idea.
Yes.
Which it's such a short-lived scheme because surely Krista will just say, that was my idea when she hears it.
And Leo pops into the penthouse at some point, and he tells a little anecdote about his daughter is in kindergarten and she's trying the, you know, dress ups on and stuff like that. And Paul's like, oh, do you have any photos? And it really, it really hurt me.
Yeah, me too, actually.
I don't really believe, because like I've said it before, Paul didn't kill David.
No.
And I don't really believe, because I think when you lose people, you are quicker to forgive things and you don't want to lose more people.
Yeah.
Even by any other means. So I kind of want this, the Leo-Paul relationship to hurry up.
It broke me a bit because obviously as the parent of a nearly four-year-old,
yes,
like Paul lived with that child and they do the bloody cutest things. They just, I mean, they're nuts. But it's so cute all the time and everything they do is hilarious and nonsense. And you would just want to tell someone a story about what they just did.
Yeah.
And the fact that Paul doesn't get to share that anymore, even though he was witnessing it every day, as much as I hate the man, like that's rough.
And also, like, that child would be in grief for not having him around anymore.
Where's my grandpa? Like, he would have read me a story every night, you know?
Yeah. I'm sure he was doing more than Leo.
Yeah, and anyway, Leo's got a new baby on the horizon.
Yeah, he's fine. Did he go to that scan?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
She invited him. Well, she said she had a scan and there was a very long silence. And she was like, do you want to come?
And he's like, I'd love to see the insides of your body.
And we find out some news at the scan.
Oh, that's right. It's a girl.
Yeah.
So we can't call it David.
Davina.
Davina. Ew, Davina.
Davina Bell, children's author. But then Leo's like, let's get a place. Both the girls will live as a happy family of four. That's not happening.
No.
Because you know why? We're watching a soap opera. That's why.
Yeah. Someone's going to die.
But now there's this interesting development with Chelsea. She is trying to get Paul to change his will.
Yeah.
And like pretends that the solicitor rang and asked to change it.
And Paul's right on and he goes, why would they talk to you? You're my bit of fluff.
Paul shutting that down from every angle was exquisite.
Yeah.
He's like, well, why didn't they talk to me? I would have told them in 4 seconds.
And he's like, they don't need to worry about any of this.
And she's like, oh, just because there was a reference to your ex-wife. He's like, you don't need to know about that. That's fine. Don't worry about it.
Yeah. And she's so obvious. She's like a cat burglar walking around the apartment, like just in her outfit, being like, shh.
Putting candlesticks in a sack over her shoulder. So she's like, oh, well, that plan's not going to work then. What's her next plan? Is Paul so set on giving all of his children money, then we're just going to have to concoct another child, aren't we?
Yeah.
And we know this because she takes out her contraceptive pill packet, shows it to the camera, and then puts it away.
I'm sure people do still take the pill, but also like the 90s called. She's like, most people would have to go and get the IUD out.
Exactly. We would have seen her make an appointment with the gynecologist and go, hi, we're going to have to take this out.
And they would have set her down and said, look, it's a lot of effort to take it out.
And sure? I can't fit you until next Thursday. Okay. Can I go on a wait list?
Yeah. Oh, my God.
She's called. She's got two adult children and she's still on the pill.
Oh, my God. I mean, look, good on her. I am no longer on the pill. That is not necessary. But the thing is that so firstly, I must pay homage to Kate Stradamus. She did say Chelsea's got to sort out these misfiring ovaries.
Oh. A
couple of weeks ago.
Yes.
I also say this. I saw this spoiled. But yeah. I had to keep it to myself.
Because ever since she heard about the $1 million baby deal.
Yeah. She's like, I can get $1 million baby.
For free.
I'm pretty sure she's going to try and get pregnant if
– she's already trying.
I think she'll try. I don't think she'll be successful.
Because she instantly tried. She looked at the packet too. Also, welcome to 2024. You can get an app that tells you when you're ovulating. You don't have to look at your pill packet and do maths.
No.
Did
you say 2022?
Four. I don't know. you could do it then too.
Yeah, you're right.
She tells Paul, stop doing what you're doing.
Yeah.
It's break time.
Also, like she was meant to take it. Like the way that she took it out was like she was meant to take it then.
Yes.
So like you don't have to have sex straight away, Chelsea. Like tomorrow would be okay.
Tomorrow would be fine. Should tomorrow happen as well?
Yeah, I'm sure it does.
It did in this case, yeah. As in she, the next day.
I don't think your swimmers are going to do that well in that heat.
She took him to the sauna, the Lassiter's sauna.
Did she lock the door?
We just saw them coming out. There was steam. That cannot have been comfortable.
Or like hygienic in any way.
I mean, it's Lassiter's. It's never high on the priority list.
Yeah, you're right. So she's getting about. So I can assume that in Paul's letter where he made her general manager of everything,
yeah.
that there was a pay packet.
Yeah, sure. Okay.
Right. Is she still getting the pay packet? Is that what's going on?
And also she doesn't really need it because she's staying in the penthouse.
Yeah. I mean, she wants some spending money.
Yeah.
Yeah, which is fine. We all deserve our own money.
Yeah.
But go and get – well, she's got the perfume deal as well because she leveraged that into the thing. So I think she should be doing fine. Stop being the manager.
And stop trying to have surprise babies, secret babies. Paul tells her, thanks so much for being my bit of fun. That's all you are. You're just fun. Just like, oh, is that all I am? He's like, well, hey, you know what your strengths are. Let's play to those.
Yeah. And I think like he enjoys, he's had a few times before David died because she was trying it on then as well, where he's just sort of like, look, I respect your tenacity, you know? And then when she put the perfume in and he was like, well, I guess this is my payment for all that sex.
Yeah.
And she's like, oh, no, I want to do that.
It's very entertaining to watch her get thwarted at every turn. I like it. She doesn't even ever get a word in with him before someone interrupts.
No, but she is really giving it a good old go, isn't she?
And I also heard this week forgot again that she was Kara's sister.
Oh, they do not look related.
Or act or ever seem to talk to each other ever.
No. And I don't blame her because Kara's like, oh, no. And Dr. Ma obviously has had enough of her.
Kara works hard in her career, in her job, and actually works for her money.
Yeah. To be fair, I'm pretty sure Chelsea's working quite hard too. But yeah.
All right. Let's get to Haz.
Oh, yeah.
I got to get to Haz.
The A storyline, I guess.
This was a thrill. It was firstly, for a while, it was not a thrill. It was a weird ceramic pig storyline of Harold's has won a coffee award.
Yes. So Max says, Harold's has won best local coffee. And Haz goes, what? Now, what I wanted to insert there was, what? I serve dog hair in my coffee. How is that possible?
And then a bark. Yes. Trevor's like, how do we pull this off?
Where is that dog?
I don't know.
Yeah.
For a while, I was going to pin some crimes on him.
Yeah, well, I mean, some crimes are there to be punned. Pinned. So Mac has submitted the coffee into these local awards. By the way, all awards like this, shonky awards like this, are made up by marketers.
Yeah.
And sometimes they're made up to make money because, you have to submit money to the awards.
You have to probably buy a coffee to vote or whatever.
Yeah. They are just – they're not real. Haz's doesn't have the best coffee. I'm here to break the story.
Also, it was the local council and they probably had 12 entries.
Well, it was that and the pub's coffee.
Yeah.
That when,
and if the coffee hut, is that still there?
No.
The tram's not far.
That's true. And you would think the tram would have better because it's like cool.
A little hole in the wall, artisan. Exciting times for Haz, you would think, but then he goes into work. And the cafe is completely demolished and trashed.
Yeah. I think also somebody posted on the council that it's like the anniversary of Paige coming in and Haz is being trashed.
What happened there?
I don't know, but it just seems that there's a lot of recycling going on, both rubbish and storylines.
Yeah, This week I noticed as well, visually, there were a lot of really wide shots and we saw a lot of corners of the set that I don't normally see. And I noticed that straight away with Harold's that there was a really wide shot and you just saw every space of floor. I'm like, wow, Harold's looks big and empty because there were no extras in it either. And I could tell that they'd shot it the same day that they trashed it because they had to empty it all out to make it look clean again. And anyway, things were knocked over, shelves were knocked over, things were broken, the coffee machine was broken.
The coffee machine was broken. So I'm going to give him that because coffee machines are very expensive and you would normally have to have some sort of specialist person fix it.
Not just Cara.
I know, but like I guess she's just really good.
As handy a mum as she is.
100%. But I'm going to give it, she's, you know, she seems to be able to do anything, install fans that don't fall down and fix coffee machines, fine. But he basically looks around at like the bookshelf. Remember when Sonia ran into the backpackers and knocked the bookshelf over? Like it was that level of damage. Mm. And he looked around and went, oh, this is too much. We can't fix it.
He's like, oh, when I went into small business ownership, I just thought once I set it up that there would never be ever problems ever.
Yeah, I would never have any problems. I would never put dog hair in my coffee.
No break-ins, no human intervention.
Yeah, no guy that comes and spreads sugar around the place.
No divine intervention, you know, no disasters, nothing. But Mac rallies the troops. Mm-hmm. She's like, we got can-do attitudes.
Yeah, Ho-Ho's there.
Yeah, again, I forgot they were ex-lovers.
Yeah, I did too.
Yeah. Nicolette's there.
Yeah, I see that for Nicolette, that she's just like, oh, I'll do this.
And she worked there. Like, you know, that was her.
She did. I forgot.
So she knows her way around that place. And at one point, Jane is helping out. I'm like, what day is this? What day of the week?
I don't know. Jane has not been on set much.
No.
In fact, our friend, Neighbours, Plain Jane fan page, Lindley, mentioned that, like, they could have just sent Jane to go to the UK. Mm. Like, she's been not on that much.
Yeah.
That why not just, you know.
Flying visit to see Guy Pearce. Why wouldn't you?
Well, I mean, like, Coos has been in Sydney for, like, 7 months. Why not Jane go for a couple of weeks?
So the whole street's pulled together and they have a lovely warm and fuzzy moment, and then they take the Ellen selfie from the Oscars.
Yeah.
With Haz in like Ellen position, or no, Bradley Cooper position, and everyone was on board. It was the exact framing of the Oscars selfie, which is like 10 years old now, by the way.
Yeah. Oh my God.
It's all warm and fuzzy. Jane went and got new cushions because these ones got ripped.
Yeah.
Because, you know, which is why I suspect Trevor was involved.
He's just trying to get attention from his dad.
And then Mackenzie says to Haz, oh, I'll help you put the insurance claim in, you know. And he's like, no, don't worry about it.
I've already done it. Like he can't get off the couch.
Actually, that happens the next day, because then what happens in this moment is he gets a message.
Yeah, now it's daytime. You would assume that Haz, as a cafe owner, would have to go and open the cafe to start off with, but he's just sitting on the couch. He gets a text message and it says, like, I know your secret. And he wasn't immediately perturbed by that. He watches the video.
The amazing thing is my partner observed, KB said, oh, I'll put it in landscape mode. He turned his phone sideways to watch the video in all its glory.
So he wouldn't. And also, like, he didn't zoom in ever. Like, I would be like pausing and zooming to, like, see stuff.
Yeah.
Now, he goes,
no, someone's taken the trouble to send me a short film.
Yeah.
I'm going to consume it all in one shot.
As it should, a landscape. Yes. Good pick, KB. Yeah. So what do we see in this?
The trashing.
Yeah.
The trashing as it happens. The pillows are ripped.
Yeah. Firstly, it's a camera that he doesn't seem to know about in his own cafe.
Yeah. It seemed to have been placed in there. You know, the shelf get knocked over. It was a hooded figure. And then as the arm comes up to smash down the coffee machine, we see closer under the hoodie, it's bloody Haz's face.
Yeah. So it is Haz.
That is Haz. And again, KB goes, he's killed the coffee machine. Because he lifted his arm above his head and just smashed it down like he was committing murder.
Yeah, but it's like Alfred Hitchcock.
Yeah.
Like,
I nearly fell over with that reveal. That was an amazing reveal.
Now, we later on the next episode, we get some like teaser and who it might be. Mm. But what did you think in that moment? Like just in the face of the current situations.
In that moment, I thought, oh, he's got a psychosis happening. He's got a mental condition. Love that for him, because I've been waiting for him to get interesting. And I thought now is the time.
Here's it. Yeah.
We are welcoming of all mental disorders here on Ramsey Street. We welcome it. We don't know what it could lead to. A fun time. So I thought and Kate messaged me at the time. We were watching it very close together without realizing it. And I just said to her, have you watched the end? She's like 90 seconds off. And I waited. I sat there and waited. And then she was like, oh, my God. She goes, what do you reckon? Evil twin or Jekyll and Hyde?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
That was like straight away. And I just went, oh, well, I thought, yeah, I thought Jekyll and Hyde, that he's got this, I don't know, didn't take a pill and then he didn't take Chelsea's pill and then he went off the deep end.
Oh, God.
But evil twin is classic soap opera.
It is. I, in the face of watching 18,000 hours of Kate Middleton or maybe not Kate Middleton walking across a farmer's market this week, I thought it's AI.
Ooh.
An AI video.
I love it.
But.
Because it didn't look like a real burglary.
Yeah, and like.
Because
he watched the whole thing. If he, okay, psychosis aside.
Yeah.
If he knew that he did this to the cafe because he couldn't cope with the pressure of being the best coffee in the area. I mean, has the newspaper been to the good bakery and got the iced coffee? That's the question I need to know.
No, they haven't.
They obviously haven't. Because he couldn't cope with the pressure of the award.
Because
that seems to be the only reason why he would have been upset. Because things are going great for Haz.
Mm.
Yeah. If he did it, he wouldn't watch the whole video. He'd be like, oh, shit.
Oh, I know how this happens. I know how this ends.
Yeah. So psychosis is definitely a possibility.
Okay.
I would enjoy that because that's really interesting. Mm. Like you said, this is Haz getting interesting. And then it's neighbours, so obviously twin is an option.
And then the next day, because Matt keeps saying, oh, let's go visit my dad and, hey, you don't talk about your family. Where is your family?
Because Mac has like woken up from like her love amnesia. So they told each other that they loved each other.
Yes, in the weirdest way.
Yeah.
Like I love gooseberry jam. Oh, I can't even repeat it.
No, it was gooey.
It was gooey.
It was gooey. It was as gooey as gooseberry jam.
Yes.
So, but and she's like, I love you, I love you, I love you. And then she's like, oh, I don't know anything about you. Do you have siblings?
Where are your parents? He's like, oh, they're overseas a lot, all the time.
Yeah.
And who's your sister? Where's your sister? We know there's a sister coming. We've got the press release.
Yeah, we know.
Yeah. He's like, okay.
Haz doesn't know. He hasn't got it.
Yeah, he's like, oh, yeah, yeah, she's around. And then Byron is like, oh, yeah, and your brother? Mac's like, you got a brother?
You got a brother?
Byron, which, by the way, keeps shipping Byron and Haz because Byron gets to know all the info.
Hey, Byron knows everything about him. So he says with like this steely look, some people say we're exactly the same.
Oh.
But we're not.
And then if they find out he's got a twin, she's like, a twin? You didn't say he was a twin. He's like, oh, well, you didn't ask.
You didn't ask if I had a twin that was evil.
You just said brother. And I said, okay, brother.
So.
What the fuck?
What the fuck? I really hope. I want it to be psychosis now. Can they go back and rewrite it?
Yeah, go back. Go back, because they filmed these quite a way out.
Mm.
Like, so
I would like if it was psychosis and that it was because of the pressure of the coffee oil.
And other people are like, oh, our loved one just died. And someone else is like, oh, my marriage is breaking down. And Haz is like, oh, yeah, my dog went away for a couple of days. I had a hard time too.
And you don't know what it feels like to think that you have the best coffee and you know you don't.
Messes with your head.
Yeah.
I don't want platitudes. That was amazing. The Haz reveal was amazing. Now, have a little think about we've just shared our thoughts of what we think is going on with Haz. I bet you're not prepared for what Kate thinks is going on with Haz.
I'm not.
In regards to Haz trashing his own cafe, in the 80s, there was a medical drama called Saint Elsewhere, and I was too young to watch it. But the reason why it's a cultural touchstone is that the whole series finished by it turning out that the series that you just watched was actually the imaginings of some young, maybe autistic guy looking at a snow globe of the hospital inside the snow globe. And I'm thinking maybe this whole Neighbours reboot is in fact some dude who looks like Haz and is a Neighbours super fan, and he's just imagining Neighbours coming back to life. And this is every weird thing that's happened ever since it's come back. It's because of this guy. And he even inserted himself into the show as the new Harold. Obviously, things are glitching up in his brain and now he's trashing his own. Maybe he's trying to come back to reality. Who knows?
That is dark and meta,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
and real, possibly.
Also, like, I wonder if we can be involved in this. So you never watched The Hills, did you?
Oh, no.
So the last scene of The Hills. So we knew the whole time The Hills was on that it was all fake, right? Like
like a reality show where they were so, like, young,
yeah,
like rich kids,
yeah,
having dramas.
Yeah, and it was one of the MTV, like, huge ones that really was part of the origins of these kinds of shows.
Yeah.
And the last scene of it, they pan out and start packing down the equipment and they pull, like, the back drape away and, like, they just all walk away and it's like this meta moment that it wasn't real. So in Kate's version of this, can it be us just podcasting about it?
Yeah, that'd be great. That'd be great. And everything we said becomes what the show.
Yes. Imagine. And maybe we're in psychosis.
Imagine that. Thrilling. Wow. I can't wait for them all to get so pissed off at him that they helped fix his evil twin cafe mess.
So, yeah, I think it's going to be an evil twin.
Yeah, because Neighbours just lately doesn't keep secrets. Remember how they were like, my mysterious brother is coming. Oh, he's that guy's dad. You know, it's straight away. There's no anticipation. It's going to be, how did I destroy my own cafe? Oh, it's my evil twin. Because I've got a twin brother.
But also, like, yeah, because Byron, like, announces the brother the day after.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Nothing in between.
Exposition Neighbours.
I can't, I'm all right. So strap in. All right. It's party time. Got to go to the Rodwells.
Oh, my God. I forgot about this terrible party.
Yeah.
So
it was average.
It was average. So the setup of the party is that Andrew Rodwell, he's working all these over hours.
Because he's got to solve a cafe getting messed up.
Yeah. I mean, I do not understand. Why is there not a whole lot of cameras? I mean, apparently there is.
Yeah.
But why would there not be so many cameras?
There should be cameras on everything, on the register, on the coffee pot.
On the front door.
Everywhere you look, there should be a camera.
Yeah.
Like, you pick up a pen, there's a camera in it.
Yeah, they should have gone, oh, it was Haz. He did it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then Haz would have to explain, no, he has an evil twin.
Yes. So anyway, Sarge has run off his feet.
But he's made a list. This was the best line of the week. He has made a list of all the crims in the era. Mm. And he said, it was really long. Yeah.
But who's on the list?
His brother.
His little brother.
Yeah.
Uncle Felix.
Yes.
And he's awkward about it. He's like, well, I've got to ask him.
Yeah. And he thought Felix would just say, I was hooking up with, what's her name?
Jules. My favorite. She's coming back next week. I can't wait.
Oh, thank God. I was, in the spa with Jules.
Yeah, I was in Jules' spa this time. Because he's like, you're on parole for burglary. There's been a burglary.
Yeah.
Well, they didn't even take anything, did they? Well, cause
maybe just money from the – I'm just imagining, like, Haz doesn't even bother taking the cash to the bank every now. Oh, my God.
And when he's like, I've already filed my insurance claim.
It's like, for what? Cara fixed your coffee machine. That was the only thing that was cost anything.
Cushion covers. Jane had to get reimbursed for the cushion covers she bought. There's so many cushion buying on this show since the reboot. Yeah. Why does that come up so often? Anyway, Felix is taken aback with this accusation. Mm-hmm. Like, he actually – and Sarge is like, well, just give me an alibi and I'll get off your back. Felix cannot provide an alibi.
No, because he's hanging out with Slade. By the way, last week, you and Kate are the most adorable humans in the entire world, because not until I listened to the podcast where you were like, well, he was trying to get him to do work. I don't understand. And you're both such sweet summer children that you thought literally that he was trying to get him to do work, but he was saying do a job as in like a crime.
Yeah, but I didn't know.
Because you're gorgeous.
I couldn't make sense of what crime it was.
I don't know, but it was just gorgeous. You were like, I think he needs to fill in a tax form.
I was joking about that part, but I thought he was going to make him come and do extra work around the job site.
Yeah.
So that Felix could put his feet up.
Yeah, maybe. But yeah, so they're selling the equipment.
What equipment?
From the building site.
Okay. Oh.
Yeah.
Like stealing it. Oh, yeah. They're not allowed to do that.
That's against the law. So he's ciphering things off, you know, like one by one, and Slade's selling it.
Why does Felix need to do that?
He shouldn't be because he wants to go to the Philippines.
Well, he's got a nice, comfortable home at the Rodwells, getting caramel slice whenever he wants.
I know, but he wants to get out of there because living next door to his beautiful son is just becoming too much for him.
Okay.
And probably he's only got a six-month contract.
In Kate's defense, she has caught up and she's wised up to what Felix's – what his agenda is, okay? And if you thought you could predict to what – what the Haz theory was, you are not going to predict what she thinks Uncle Felix is up to.
Oh dear.
In his spare time.
So ever since we've heard about Uncle Fee and the fact that he was incarcerated, I've been speculating on the pod as to why he was in prison. And I was pretty firm on the idea that he was a bird poacher down at Werribee Poo Farm. But I've been thinking about it more and I'm like, what would he actually be poaching? And down that way, there's a different kind of poaching too. It's abalone poaching. What's abalone, you ask? It's a type of mollusk. It's very popular. You see it in Chinatown for sale. I did a bit of Googling and you can only take 5 abalone per person per day. And when I looked even further, back in 2016, there was a abalone gang kingpin jailed for nearly 3 years. For like running a whole gang of divers. Anyway, that's who I think the guy is. I think it's Uncle Fee, and I think he was poaching abalone down Werribee Way. Anyway, bye.
The depths of her brain.
Yeah. Anyway, he's an abalone poacher.
Okay.
And fancy. Slade's on board.
Well, it's not much sugar in abalone, so he would be on board.
Protein based. And also he has to, every time he has to go meet Slade, it's just got to be in a corridor or an alley. It's got to be in a laneway, in a crevice.
Yeah, I don't understand why Slade just can't get a job on the site and just
be above board, turn a new leaf.
Go legit, guys.
At one point someone says to Felix that he could open a gym. I think it's JJ.
Yeah.
Says, oh, you thanks for helping me with my boxing. You're so good at teaching fitness. You could run a gym. And I was like, the shed's coming back, baby.
God. I don't know if he'd get the, you know, the all clear.
No. He'd have to have someone to be the front, the forward-facing element of it. Get Aaron back.
Speaking of work, Aaron went back to work this week.
Yeah.
From grief leave. Yeah.
He worked at the bar.
I hope he doesn't have to deal with, like, a drunk, angry person. That's going to be sad. But I don't, not much of that there.
So the party is welcome to Ramsey Street, Felix. And Wendy's organised a banner.
Oh, my God. She's put a lot of effort into
decorations.
This. She's been running around. Now, who invites themselves?
Ho-Ho, because she saw Felix at the cafe and she immediately got the horn. She got the Ho-Ho horn.
She did. And Mel points out that he's considerably older, which is amazing that someone pointed this out.
Yeah.
Instead of just accepting that a fully grown man would go out with conceivably, we don't know how old she is, Ho-Ho.
Also, it's got to be the same age gap that Byron and Sadie have.
You would assume so. But she points out the ex-crim part first. Yeah. And Ho-Ho's, don't be silly.
And also, pot kettle Melanie?
Yeah, that's
let
true.
Let he who is without criminal record cast the first stone.
Yeah, she was like an international drug
fugitive.
Yeah.
He's just done some gentle burglaries.
Anyway, so Ho-Ho, she paid for Felix's coffee, and from that point on she was like, you are my man.
She can work it. She's got the Izzy Hoyland. She's got moves.
Yeah, she does. And look, I don't know how old she is, but I'm very glad that Melanie brought it up because it was amazing to actually hear that. So she invites herself to the party. She goes and buys a new dress. I'm glad I don't need to hear what Kate thinks about it. But Melanie says, I can't go to the party with you. Like, I just slept with Wendy's friends broke up a marriage.
And Ho-Ho's like, but I need a wingman. I don't think you realize that that's important in this scenario.
Yeah, I'm very important. And like, you know, And so Melanie goes to ask Wendy if it's okay. And Oh my God.
And later Melanie says, look, if it wasn't okay, you should have told me when I came and asked. No one's going to say that. If you're cornered like that, of course you're not going to suddenly go, yeah, actually don't come to my party. Homewrecker. You're going to be like, sure.
It's actually next Tuesday though. Don't come tonight. I don't.
Oh, Felix wanted to keep it low key.
He just wants the teenage girl in your house to come.
Wendy was being really weird about it. Even she didn't even want Holly to come.
Because she thought
what would happen happened.
Yeah, but also like she doesn't understand why the young girl next door would want, because I know that Felix is younger, but also Wendy sees him as a contemporary, like they're adults.
Yeah.
Yeah, and she hadn't thought to invite Ho-Ho and Melanie.
At the party, Mel overhears Wendy complaining and basically saying that she never wanted to invite Mel. Everyone's judging her anyway, and she's not going to be able to face up to Tarage, you know, and her loyalties are there, and Mel hears the whole thing.
But yes, also Mel and Ho-Ho seem to be the only guests at this party. So if you hadn't have invited them.
And Byron's there for a bit.
Yeah. Great. Byron is obviously there because of Sadie.
Yeah. Yep. But then Mel has a little, she gets her groove back. She stands up to Wendy. She's like, you know what? There were two people involved in that scenario.
Consenting.
Yep. Whatever. You're not judging me for it. She marches herself back to the Kennedys and she said to Holly, you know, that's it. I was fearing the worst. It happened. People are going to judge me. Screw them. And she said to Wendy, can I bring anything? Some cocktail mix, you know? When you're friends with the drinks diva.
Bring the van.
There's some perks.
Can you put a sheet over David there? The top.
But then what is the big show-stopping moment at this party? Because Felix is barely even at his own party.
Yeah, firstly, Felix is far too cool for this kind of business. Yes. Oh, my God.
So can we go to the back lane bar?
Yes. So he says, he calls his brother Buff a bit. Like he's trying to be like, my brother thinks I did the crime. Has, by the way, walks out at this because he knows he didn't do it. Because it's either him or his brother, right? Or maybe sister. Because, like, there was a hood.
Okay, yep.
So
that would be amazing if you had an evil twin and it was your fraternal twin sister.
Amazing. So he scampers out. And then JJ jumps up and says he was with me.
Oh, fake alibi.
Yes. Because he's been, like, desperate, like, saddest bee following Felix around.
And like, please be my dad.
Oh, it's so sad because, like, you know, you hear about, like, because he might have some sort of genetic pull to him that we don't understand.
Yeah. It's like me whenever I meet a strong creative woman in the workplace. I'm just like, I get maternal vibes from you.
Yeah. Will you be my mommy?
Will you be my work mommy?
So Felix is getting his son involved in crimes, even though it's not really – he is getting involved in the other crimes with Slade inadvertently in this.
There are going to be some angry lesbians.
Oh.
They find out.
They're quite effective, these two.
Oh, they don't make around.
And Dr. Mara is already anti. Did you hear what she brought up at the when they were cleaning up the bookcase, when they were all working together to raise the bookcase? She said, well, is there any – like, you know, coincidence that a felon has moved in.
Yeah. And now there's crimes.
Crimes.
It's like, yep. Wow. I didn't think I was going to have much to talk about this pod, but then it all came tumbling out.
Citizen or shitizen of the week.
Ooh, okay.
Oh. Sometimes it's funny because it's like a surprise every week that you're going to ask me this, even though you have been asking me for 9 years.
And sometimes there's absolutely no question and it's just right there and it's so obvious. But now I just need a minute. Yeah. I'm going to go, because I didn't last week, this is to make up for it, shitters and toadfish. Do you think, we can put it behind us, me having spontaneous sex as a newlywed. They got married in September and he has slept with someone in March.
Oh, toady. Toad fishing.
And he thinks he could just put all the ducks back in a row.
All he has to do is figure out why he puts his penis in people and then the problem will go away.
Rhonda. At one point, Nell says to Toady, stop Rhondarizing me, when he's like, you know, saying, oh, you're trying to be the adult, and he's trying to do psycho babble. And she says, don't Rhondarize me. Get Georgie Stone's mum back.
Oh, thank goodness. I mean, to be honest, Georgie Stone is the only person right now that is making any sense on the show. So it makes sense that her mother's
She's like,
come
I can run your law business, but my mum's coming to talk to you about your bullshit.
Yeah, and she's going to talk to your children about the fact that you are completely ruining their life. And plus, could you get them some housing?
And can we get Callum to come back full time? And can he be the parental figure to them?
So I'm gonna give my citizen of the week to Callum.
From afar.
Because he finally, in the strong tradition of Rebecca children, is going to parent his father.
Yeah.
And say, look, Dad, useless, mate. Get on a plane.
So where are they going to go that now? What's their plan? They're going to come back from Disneyland and live where?
Toadie's not thinking about that. He's just thinking about Disneyland.
Yeah.
Like when he just thought about putting his penis in Mel. Yeah.
I go to a place where Meg happy.
Happiest place on earth. Look, to be honest, like you said, I could swap Mel for Toadie. Like at this point, he could stay with Callum.
Don't care. We can keep the kids.
Yeah, they can come back.
They can stay in the Kennedy house.
That's fine. The Kennedys are used to raising people.
Yeah. They're not their children. So that's that. We are thinking there might be a little Easter break for us at some point.
We're very religious.
It's not even Greek Easter till like ages away. But anyway.
Really, when's Greek Easter?
Not till like the end of April.
Oh, it's a much better time to have Easter.
It is. It's normal. April is Easter month. March is dreaming. We'll see how we go because it's just a hectic time. We're a man down. But we'll keep you posted.
And can I just shout out?
Yeah.
I think one of the first mayors of the council, Joe.
Yes.
Just want to say congratulations so much.
Yes, Joe had a baby.
So, and she's awesome. So, well done.
Definitely every Neighbours councillor who has a baby, is their baby is considered one of the Neighbubs as far as I'm concerned.
100%.
Neighbub.
Yeah.
Jump on patreon.com/neighbourspod and there's a few bonus extras there. CJ, where are you?
CJ the Hot Mess Mum on Instagram and TikTok.
I'm Vase on Instagram and thanks for listening. By the way, because a friend asked me to review a podcast recently and I just thought, when's the last time we've asked people to review our podcast?
Yes.
And I jumped on to read some of our reviews and they are years old.
Yeah. Which is because we are years old.
Yeah, God, yeah. We've got a geriatric podcast. But if you've never left us a review or a rating, 5-star preferably.
Please, all the stars.
Do some good podcast hygiene and click on your app and click on the star rating and write a little message.
And I found recently, because Bezos is one of our overlords now, we're on Amazon or Audible or whatever the podcast place is there. But I went to review us on there and it was like, no, you have to listen to it first. And I'm like, oh, but I've already listened to it on Apple.
and in person when I made it.
Anyway, so listen to it, which you're doing now, but then rate and review us and any platform because, there's
It's all great. We never ask. So this is just.
And sometimes all you have to do is ask.
Yeah, once in a decade. Mm-hmm. Thanks so much for listening. We appreciate it.
Bye.
Hey, Brit.
Toadie's sorry he gave her false hope, which must be how he refers to all of his sexual encounters with women.
Don't blame me, blame Brit.
I'm gathering from his evasiveness that has killed all his family members.
Don't blame me, blame Brit.
Honestly thought Mackenzie was going to kiss Toadie when he started crying. There was a little heat between them. Here comes wife number 9. If there's 2 Hazes in the world, I'm done.